I'm Norma Pizarro, and I'm talking to you today about my self-portrait. When I originally made the piece, it was about Catholicism and being raised Catholic and that denial of the body and the back being open and vulnerable and allowing, just allowing the world to come in, but also mysterious. And that's why it meanders. But for me, it was more just that I always, it was just shielding myself and covering myself. And then, but I always, and then the back where it meanders like a river or like it's like, to me, it was like canyons, like years of years of rain, the residue that creates this residual like cutout, but, and then it allows the light to come in. And then it's carved wood and forged steel. I love working with those materials because, the reverence to the tree and the handwork, the methodical aspect of carving is very meditative. The forging of steel that you buy these rods that are cold and hard, and you heat them up and they become warm and malleable. And I just love that transformation. And then it's light, but it can hold some, it's heavy at the same time. So it's the two disparities that I try to bring out. And again, the being vulnerable, protecting yourself. It's elements that I find in a lot of my work. I think that's,
I guess I wonder, and this is just me being kind of reactive. Mm-hmm. You're saying is, I wonder whether there's sort of two sides of the same coin,
mm-hmm.
that your intentions with it are one part of how we're trained to be female, and mm-hmm. the other side is the other side of what it means to be female, the vulnerability,
mm-hmm.
You know, they feel connected to me.
Definitely.
You had one experience and they had another. It's like this
right,
is all
right.
of this is yeah. what it means to be female. And you were getting at that at a deep level.
Right.
So, or different women are experiencing it, but
yes, exactly. Yes.
And you're getting at depth of it that obviously different women are going to be saying, yes, I felt that, but in this way, yes, I felt that, but it's
right.
getting at the something in your piece is getting at the depth of that.
Right. I think so. And when you said how as women we experience the world, and it's because of how we're, you know, how people view us. It's like we're viewed, we're stared at, we're looked at, and sometimes you do want to be male because the male can navigate the world in a different way because their bodies, but then I don't want us to, we are women. We are, you know, we have this connection to our bodies. And so, yeah, that's very true what you're saying, that is. And it is about that. It's about how we navigate the world based on how we're viewed, and it's the male view, you know, that. And I think my niece, you know, you're raped. She was raped by another student, a male student. And the colleague was male, a male relative. And it's, so it's that male gaze also, that this part of this piece, the male gaze and how it affects us. She's strong, and I wanted her to have that strength and that presence. And I don't know. So
yeah, sorry, I'm just reacting now, but I'm just like in conversation mode, and you know, mm-hmm. it's funny because you said that piece, but somehow I look at this piece, I look at this piece and it feels like almost the female gaze, because it's still showing her vulnerability. I don't perceive this as her being sexual. I view this as like her body, her vulnerability, mm-hmm. her strength all at once. So it feels
right.
to me like there's, it's like allowing a female gaze upon the female body.
Yeah. See, that's what I love. I just,
it maintains all of those.
Yeah.
All of those elements, and you're
right.
Her shield is her arm, so it's not a male shield of metal perhaps or something.
But for me it was shielding my body. When I was 13, we moved to the Dominican Republic, and that when you're 13 your body's changing from being, you know, a girl to a woman. And in the Dominican Republic the men would just stare, jeer, just say things to me. And I was just 13 and it really affected me. And that was another, so to me, you know, I wasn't assaulted, but at 13, that was an assault. It was that's part of the idea of, I don't want to be sexual. I didn't want to be a sexual being, you know, and then you combine that with the Catholic upbringing of, you know, my mother's interpretation of sex is like, you know, you're a flower, a rose, you keep yourself, you know, intact until you get married, and you know, all of those things. So all of a sudden at 13 your men are looking at me and yelling things and just blowing kisses, and it was too much. And so that stayed in my mind too. And so, so all of those things, just, it's just, and you know, not everybody. And so all of those elements to stay in you. And then, so when I was in my early 20s, I saw this image, this black and white photograph, and it was just a small, just this little image. And it was just this part of the breast and then the little bit of the arms. And that was just this tiny image of that. And I saw that and it stayed in my mind. And then years later, when I went to Anderson Ranch in Colorado to do a workshop with Bob Trotman, he's a carver. He does amazing figurative sculpture. And all my life I had drawn. I always drew the faces and the body. And, I would always draw. But I had never carved the human figure. So when I saw his work, it blew I was like, I've never seen somebody carve the figure like him. And it was just out of wood. And I was just about to start grad school. So I went to Anderson Ranch and he said, I want you to do concentrate on a segment of the body, a part of the body. And that image came back to my head that I had seen like 5 years earlier. And I started thinking, why did that small image of just that little part of just a little hint of what the arms and the little hint of the breath, that stayed with me for so many years. And then from that, thinking about what that meant to me and why did that resonate with me and why did I want to bring that back? I started thinking about everything that we've talked about now. And so that's where I started rendering, and I wanted just parts of my face, but I wanted the torso and not the eyes, because people concentrate on the eyes. And I just felt like the expression on your lips says a lot too. Like, and I wanted, so I recreated from that little bit, this torso and the protecting of myself, the covering myself, but I also wanted that vulnerability that's in the back and that that connection to when I see how rivers have created this, the sinuous line that just has always resonated with me. I think of it as it takes years and years and years for that to happen. It's just like memories and emotions and experiences take years to create who we are. And that's, and so that's where that torso came from, that work from him saying, I want you to concentrate on one part. And that picture came back to me. And then I came back to grad school. And then I decided, let's continue with this torso idea. But I want it to be, and at first it was going to be a corset. And like before, when women used to wear the skirts that were like metal to make them, you know, and I think that was dealing with being confined and how women had to dress a certain way and walk a certain way. So, but then and that's where the skirt idea came, but I didn't like that. I wanted, and so it evolved to making it like the veins and the arteries of a human body, but the similarity that they have with the roots of a tree, and they both give you life and then the connection that we have with the earth. And so that's so I told you I went back, found my MFA thesis, and I was reading that just now before I met with you, and that's when I remembered, yeah, it was this little photograph that I had seen, you know, so many years previous to starting this piece, and why that resonated with me anyway. So
I was going to mention, like, just sort of what you were talking about. When I was 14, I went and worked in Venezuela.
Oh.
And the male gaze there and what you're talking about the Dominican Republic, mm-hmm. it definitely shaped, you know, me, and that you know, you're just entering into womanhood.
Exactly.
So much. And I don't want to talk about it because I don't want people to like I think that male gaze is everywhere. So yeah. I don't want like the Latin male gaze. I
know.
It doesn't have to show because, you know, it's so easy to write off as, you know, that's
right.
Other culture, but that was very impacted my coming of age of mm-hmm. being that
exactly.
So but it was like an attack. The gaze was so strong and so clear in its intention.
And our age has to do a lot with it too.
Right. And we were so young and just coming into our own bodies. Exactly. I just really relate to that part and what you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't talk about much because I don't want people to be able to say, oh, that's what happens in Venezuela. It's like, it happens everywhere, but
it happens everywhere.
Experience exactly. Happened in this one place in this
it,
one.
It was just that I was 13 when we moved there. And that's that age when it's awkward. You're still figuring yourself out. And then it was this avalanche of that. And no, because my daughter, if we were talking about, she's 13, she's experienced that here. And it's subtle. It's not as overt. But she's like, Mom, that man was looking at me. And it made me feel really uncomfortable. It's like, oh, yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. So we're having this conversation now. And so, and that's, it goes back. So that piece, like you said, it could be, it's to me, it's shielding myself from that, but it's also strength. And it's this. And that's how we are as humans. We're not just one, you know, it's these nuances. And that's what the piece is about, the nuance of being human and living in this environment, this world. And for me, what gives me peace has always been being in nature. And so to me, it was reverence to nature and my spirituality. And that's the votives are the rituals and the Catholicism. I love that, the lighting. And that's why I wanted to add that, include that in my piece. But creating that light that comes through the dark is also part of that. This piece is just continuing to live and be in awe of beauty, you know, because that gives me strength. Seeing being awed by just the morning light, the way it hits a leaf and the birds, just all those little things that to me just give me strength. And that's the relationship that I have with the two, that again, the how it's physically, she's physically being standing, but it's also symbolically that connection.
Yeah. I wish this piece could just be by itself in a white room or something, you know.
When it was originally displayed, it was.
Mm.
It was amazing. I was so shocked. They created a room for it, and a classmate had made his piece was an arch, a cement arch. And so they had that piece because when it was showed, it was part of the, I got my MFA here in San Diego State with Wendy Maruyama. It was the furniture design program. Mm-hmm. And we were invited to show in Boston at the Society of Arts and Crafts. And this piece was there. And then that all of those pieces were then displayed at the OMA show. And so he had done this arch out of cement. And so what they did is they placed the arch at the entrance of this room. And so you walk through this arch and there's my piece. And it's in the center of this room by itself. So it was like this quiet place where people could go in and just walk around it and experience, you know, and whatever came. So
it was, yeah. right? I feel that when, as you're talking and I'm looking at this piece, there's so much content there. You know, it's like, and the transparency of the metal, I feel like it needs nothing behind it. So you're able to kind of get at all of it because, yeah, I mean, obviously it can be displayed anywhere, but as you're talking.
Well, thank you for saying that. That's, I
want to see it in its own space. If I could, I just think, I think you can sort of, if you focus on it, you can create that for yourself. But yeah, it's really, I'm sort of imagining it that way now.
Yeah, I was really floored when I saw it the way it was displayed the last time. It was, it was a place of where you can, and I think when I had my MFA show, a lot of people said that it was almost like walking into a church to see my show, but it was, my work was not, it was that feeling when you walk in and there's silence and then you everything had, but it was interesting because my work was about being pagan, about the antithesis of being in a Catholic church. But they felt, and I think maybe it's because of that, you know, the feeling I would get when I would walk into church when it was quiet, when there was nobody there and you could just be in that space. But then being a space, again, going back to the Dominican Republic, I had a horse and I would go with my horse to the mountains by myself and just look at down at the valley. And there was this one moment when that happened, when it was just me and my horse and we stopped and I was looking down at the valley and I thought, this is my church right here with you, my horse, and the beauty of nature right here in this. I just feel so thankful and alive. And it, I think because I had a horse too, the connection with this other creature that is not a human being. And so having that has always been really important to me, the connection to non-humans and the love I feel and the reverence I feel for them and respect and awe. And and then what was interesting to me is growing up too, I was always asked, are you Native American? What tribe are you from? And and my brothers and sisters would say to me, you are adopted because you look so different from us. And I thought, okay, fine. And that's why I started taking a lot of class. I took some classes in college on different indigenous cultures. And just 2 years ago, I finally took that test and I came back that I'm 40% indigenous from South America. I am from South America originally, but the Patagonian tribe people. And when I told my mom that I was going to take this test, she said, oh, that's interesting. You might find out that you have indigenous blood. I'm like, what? Mother, why didn't you ever tell me? She goes, oh, well, your great grandmother is Patagonian, 100%. I thought, mother, if I had known when I was a kid and what people would always ask me, you know, what tribe did you come from? Or are you blood? Or my brothers and sisters saying I was, it would have made such a, and so when I found, I don't know. It just sounds kind of corny to think, oh, maybe that's why I had this such a strong connection to the earth and such a strong connection to animals. And, you know, but I think all humans can have that. I really responded to it. I think we all are connected to the earth, but I think for some reason it just was so powerful to me. And and maybe that's why, I don't know, they say that, you know, the ancestors, they're with you, you know. And
yeah, and different cultures, we have different ways of connecting with the earth. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Your people comes more from your heritage, right? And the way that you connect is has something to do with your heritage.
Yeah.
Even if you didn't know it, but it's
right. Know, exactly.
It's DNA.
Yeah. Right.
So I think so. Wow. Well, I feel illuminated.
Well, I don't know, like, this is going to be interesting how you would then take our conversation, and because it's been all up for me, kind of talking here and talking there. Yeah. So I don't know.
I was trying to figure out, like, you know, which of this piece could I take and make it into the, you know, this a smaller tidbit. I'll look through it. I mean, the feeling I have is, and you tell me how you feel, but the mm-hmm. feeling I have of you talking about your friend who's the potter and then your niece, it feels too personal to me. I think that's personal, mm-hmm. but that's how it feels to me. And I
wouldn't yeah.
then, even though it really impacted me when you said it, I think that's something that doesn't, it informs your piece and it really moved me. But I think that's sort of like aside. And there was one part where you were just talking.
Oh, we have company.
Okay.
The doggies are back and my daughter's back.
Oh, hi. Okay. There was one part where you were just talking about protecting yourself, and then the river and the canyon on the back. And I felt like that, you know, it doesn't talk about everything we talked about, but it represented a lot of the other parts of the conversation.
Right. Had. Yeah. Like when my colleague, when I saw her work and I saw that she had an image very similar to mine, I was taken back. And when she explained why, like I said, it was just, but it was only when 25 years later, when my niece wanted to tattoo this image, that I started thinking, wow, there's another element to this that I did not, you know, that wasn't my intent when I made the piece. It was what we talked about. So in that respect, I found that, you know, the piece will resonate with people depending on their personal experiences. And I like that it can still do that. But it's originally, that wasn't why I made the, you know, that wasn't the reason I made the piece. I explained to you why. Yeah.
Yeah. How you made it.
It was just interesting that she, the two, you know, with the, in between, you know, two people. And for me, it was when my niece came back from college, and that was like, wow, that's, it really took me back.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Just randomly, I think it would help me if you would, and I would put it in the beginning, if you can say, like, my name is, or I am,
okay.
just so that I'll put that in the beginning, and then I'll...
Okay, so say hi. My name is Nora Pizarro, and I'm talking with you about my self-portrait candelabra, or something like that.
That'd be great, yeah.
Or do you want me to say why it's, I guess I could have started out why it's a candelabra, and that's part of, but I could say, I don't know.
I think if you just even say, I'm Nora Pizarro, and I'm talking to you about my self-portrait.
Say hi, or just say normal?
I would not say
hi. What?
I wouldn't say hi. I would just
okay. So just, I'm Norma Pizarro, and I'm talking to you about my piece, my self-portrait piece. That's bad.
Yes, I think I'm talking to you about my self-portrait piece, sculpture. Yeah.
Okay. It's a candelabra, and it's I shouldn't have said all that stuff.
No, I can stop it. The hardest part is just saying your name.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. So I had to do something similar to this for a piece that I have on display in Palm Desert, and they had me, but they had me just write it and then read it. And then they edit, so it's still, the piece is still up in Palm Desert. And what, it's the same thing. They go to the sculpture and they press a little button, and then it tells the story about that piece. So, and so that one, I wrote it and practiced and said it so many times to make it sound like I was just telling them about the piece, like I was speaking. But I had to write it down and practice 3 million times before it sounded more natural.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I know that, in a way, it's like the good thing and the hard thing about this process is I think everything sounds really natural and it's not written.
Right.
But that means that I have to find a part of it that's sort of succinct and, you know, well said, even though if it misses out on some of the mm-hmm. other things, the part that I was thinking about doesn't mention Catholicism, but yeah. It does represent some of the other pieces. So, each format has its.
Right. It would be nice if you just said it. when you talked about it, it was, you were able to verbalize really well my intent. So, and if you have any more questions or anything, feel free to call me and we can talk some more if you don't feel like you have what you need, I guess.
Yeah, sure. I'm just me being random. When you were talking, I was just thinking like, so I have tattooed on you. Can you just see it? The price tag, this is my feminine side and this is my masculine side. So a piece that's done by the huicho in Mexico, the really small beads.
Uh-huh.
And this price tag is in pesos, and it's $1,750 pesos. And it represents my female side and how we value more crafts.
Right.
And the feminine. And then this is like a piece of contemporary art that has a different price tag that's, it's done from a calculator mm-hmm. and it's like a masculine side and how these two, and it's interesting.
Right.
Maybe the younger generations, we think mm-hmm. feminine, like your daughter thinks, we think about
right.
masculine a lot, and how your piece was about more the feminine and a masculine gaze.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's something that's just interesting to me, that there might be a generational component of it. In today's world, we think about, oh, I've got my feminine side, my masculine side. And that, I think like previous generations of women maybe weren't thinking in that way. They weren't framing their identities in that way.
Yeah. I think we weren't having that conversation. I think it was for me, the conversation I had with my daughter was that I always, saw the two, that I had the two. And that was why I love working with forged steel, because it's so masculine. I was raised that, you had to wear skirts and dresses and sit a certain way and be feminine. But I was so drawn to woodworking because of the machinery, because you go to a lumberjack and you buy the wood and you wear your boots and you like talking to the other man that work there. It's mostly men that work there. And you're like, I want this. I want this type of wood. And then you take it and you machine it. And then you do the laminations and then you carve it into something that is feminine. And the forged steel, it's like these rods that are machined, but then you turn them into these organic malleable forms. So I love that. I love that you can be feminine, what is feminine, but and then you can be masculine. So why, so that's what I love about the conversation today, that it's so fluid. We don't have to have these stereotypes like you're feminine, you're a woman, this is what you do. No, I can be feminine and men can do the same thing. Men can be feminine and masculine. And so I love that where we are now. And I think now what's different is maybe that was internalized, but now I can have that conversation. I can have that conversation with my 13-year-old daughter. And she is so informed about this. And so I love that. That's what I think is generationally is different. I couldn't have had that conversation with my mother. you know, but she can have it with me. And we can talk about that. Yes, I feel like I'm male, female. And that's why I love working with steel, because traditionally women didn't forge, but I love that I can forge and I can weld, but and I can turn forms that are like this. So
yeah. It's really interesting that I just the what you're saying about you took perhaps a sort of a masculine material, but then the way that you manipulated it, mm-hmm. you brought the feminine to it.
Right.
Are you,
well, it's delicate. I mean, not that feminine is delicate, but my brother saw it and he said, it almost looks like the wings of like a dragonfly. And if you look at the wings, they're beautiful, they're delicate, but they have a presence.
Yeah.
They have this.
I guess the exoskeleton, you know, it's got the.
Yes. But it's strong at the same time. So it's just playing with the contradictions, I guess.
Well, thank you at a personal level. Thank you. This conversation has been really pretty incredible.
Well, thank you for wanting to hear me. So I appreciate that.
I will work on trying to find a little bit. It doesn't seem right. I'm like, God, there's so much of this. And maybe I'll be like, please give me more time with these questions.
Well, thank you so much. That just means a lot to me. And I have enjoyed our, being together here through this technology.
I'm just wondering, like, I don't know if you have any thoughts. Like, I've been in each of these interviews, and just take this one as an example. I just feel like 90 seconds is not enough. I don't know whether, whether I could put parts of it written and it could be something that if somebody wanted to pick up a
panel,
more information about your piece that they could take a little thing that takes more of this conversation and puts it out there. I don't know, but I feel like it's important. It's like there was so much to this, and I wouldn't want to take the whole conversation either. I would just take a few of the pieces and put them into something. But I don't know if you have any thoughts about that.
I
see why people might not want to listen to more than that, but I just feel like there's more to our conversation. It, for me, it really changes how I see your piece. I mean, it just deepens my relationship with it on 100 ways.
So
anyway, I will. I'll work on them with that.
So. Okay. Okay.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well.
Are you based in San Diego or where are you based right now?
I live right now in La Mesa, the Mount Helix area, but I was raised, I was born in Chile, and then for political reasons, my family left Chile and we lived in the Dominican Republic for a couple of years, and then the Philippines, and then different parts of the United States. And then I ended up moving to San Diego to go to grad school with Wendy Mariama. And I think Wendy has some pieces, a piece at least at this legacy show, I believe. But I loved her work and I moved here to study with her and met my husband and decided we stayed.
And will you come to the opening?
I will definitely be there.
Good, because I would love to meet you.
Likewise. Yeah, I will be there.
All right. Well, look forward
to it. Okay, take care. Thank you.
Yeah.
Bye.